How do people feel about getting Big Fitness Energy at Planet Fitness for $15 a month? They feel as thrilled as a kid the first summer they're tall enough to ride the roller coaster. That's right. When you join Planet Fitness right now, you get access to tons of equipment and free fitness training in a clean and spacious club. Don't wait. Join the judgment-free zone today for that all-day energy. Download the free Planet Fitness app and join today for $15 a month.
Hurry. Deal ends September 12th. Join today for $15 a month.
See Home Club for details.
Welcome, everyone, to episode 2 of the Cattle and Autocast. My name is Peter Klein. Thank you very much for tuning in today. On this episode, we look at the continuing spring training battles for the Toronto Blue Jays, one battle that is alive because one player is on the San Francisco Giants now, plus we will look at potential breakout candidates as we start the season preview for the Toronto Blue Jays, getting ready for the 2024 regular season. My name is Peter Klein. If you are watching this on YouTube, thank you. If you're new around here, I do a regular sports podcast every day, called Couch Potato Diary, but now breaking things off also into some team-specific shows so we can get a little bit more in the weeds on the teams that I follow the closest. You can find me on social media, Twitter, Instagram, and TikTok. I'm at Primetime Klein, twitch.tv/PrimetimePK, and you can email the show, couchpotatodiary@yahoo.com. One more time, thank you. If you're watching this on YouTube, make sure you like the video and subscribe to the channel. If you want all of the stuff, it's all here, like all the different sports talk. We have some wrestling as well from AEW Revolution and Sting's last match. That is up here on the channel now. If you are just looking for the baseball stuff, specifically for the Blue Jay stuff, all of that is in the Cattle and Autocast playlist. So you can get all of that here now. And if you're listening on in podcast, wherever you get your podcasts, it's available. Thank you. Subscribe. Leave a comment or leave a review. Sorry. And all of these will be just marked Cattle and Autocast in your feed. So and if you're watching or if you're listening on Spotify, the individual logos pop up for each show. All right. Let's get into it. And I think the biggest story from the last week for the Blue Jays since I recorded on Monday has been the struggles of Alek Manoah as he got his, to put it mildly, shit rocked in his first spring outing. 17 of 38 pitches were strikes. 3 of 38 pitches hit batters. 1 of the 38 pitches was hit very, very hard. Actually, a few of them probably were. So, not ideal. I said on the episode last week, it would take a lot for Alek Manoah, I think, to lose this spot. But this is a very, very bad start for him. And you don't want to overreact to one spring outing. You don't want to overreact to a difficult day at the ballpark, especially when it is your first spring outing, right? And basically, first time he's pitched since August. So you're working on getting that feel back. You're working on getting just kind of adapted to all of these things. You're working to pitching with the pitch clock in front of live batters, in front of real human beings and TV cameras and all that stuff. So you don't want to overreact to it. But it is a bit concerning because this is someone who I think needs to have a good spring and is such a key factor for this Blue Jays team. We've talked about it before. The big four in this rotation are set. And even if there is a bit of a falling back down to earth, they're still very good. But Manoah is kind of like, Manoah has the potential. If he is what he was a couple of years ago, an all-star, then this is like the best starting rotation in baseball, and it's probably not that close. He is such a key to this team. And what we're starting to see this spring, that there is maybe a little bit more starting pitching depth than maybe we thought. But a couple of guys who are kind of tasked with being the young kids who could be coming up haven't really impressed all that much. Cook has been hit rather hard, I've felt, throughout this spring. We haven't seen Tiedemann at all yet. There is, I think, pressure on Alek Manoah to be, if nothing else, just a number 5 starter. But if the issues continue, like this is, for him, this is the last chance. There isn't going to be another season where it's up and down and up and down and up and down. that I think this is kind of it. If Alek Manoah is going to be that guy, it has to be this season, and it has to look better than it did last week. And now you're starting to have some troubles because there's some injury issues. He was scratched from his start yesterday because of some, it just didn't feel right in a throwing session. Doesn't sound like it's like there's structural damage or anything like that, but this was such a huge spring for him, and now there's a setback. So hopefully he's able to get it back on track. If he's not, it really feels like there are two candidates to take that spot right now. And it's Bowden Francis and it's Mitch White. And neither of those feel like the most ideal option that the Blue Jays could have. But again, you look at a number five starter. Not many teams are rolling out with five All-Stars, right? Like the Blue Jays could potentially. Kikuchi and Bassett being All-Stars might be a bit of an exaggeration. But still, like you're not rolling with five guys of that caliber. Sometimes you do have to kind of, with all due respect to those guys, slum it in your number five. But the more you watch these pitchers this preseason, the more you feel comfortable with them as number five starters. I will admit, I have been too low on Bowden Francis. His numbers from last season are exceptional. And you see the stuff this spring, and it is really good. The fastball has some pretty good life. The movement on his breaking pitches is great. That curveball is ridiculously good and a little bit old school to it, like an old, oh geez, hitting desks and stuff, an old school Chris Carpenter type of a curveball to it. So this has been I think a really eye-opening spring for me that Bowden Francis could be the real deal. Is he gonna, I don't know if he's gonna get a Cy Young vote in his life, but in terms of being a number like five starter, abso-freaking-lutely, you're comfortable with that. And for White, like, this was a guy who was a top prospect at some point. Had some inconsistency issues and some injury issues. If he can stay healthy, I still think there's kind of electric stuff there. If this isn't the year for it, though, I do wonder if we see him kind of permanently move to the bullpen. He could be like a 2-3-4 inning guy in the bullpen, but it feels like that the stuff that he has, if you want to focus just on one or two pitches, could really play for him. And so I think there are more options for the starting pitching role for the number five spot than I initially gave credit to. But it's still, if you are, like right now, Manoah's dealing with injury and there's shoulder fatigue for Kevin Gausman. That's concerning to me. If you have to have both Francis and White in your starting starting rotation when you're breaking camp, then if anything happens to any of them, who's coming in? Like, it's just starting pitching depth, I think, is such a concern for this team. There's still some big name free agents out there. I can't imagine, like, unless it's like, well, Gausman's done for the year, then it, like, 1 year, $30 million for Blake Snell, and you just roll on. That would be kind of interesting. And honestly, I wouldn't hate it if they just did that anyway. And it's like, you know what, Manoah, bullpen, and AAA, and you will just, if you are ready, we'll find a spot for you. But right now, you're not ready, so there's no spot for you. This is a really tough year or a tough spring for Tiedemann to be having these injury issues already, right? Like, because it feels like if Ricky Tiedemann was healthy and pitching well, which is obviously a factor, but if he was healthy and pitching well, then you're kind of feeling like, oh, this guy's coming to camp. Like, this guy's coming out of camp. He's coming to the big league squad. But now it's coming off of a year where, again, there was some inconsistency and some injuries that maybe set the timeline back. I still think Tiedemann is playing big league baseball at some point this year, but he would be the fifth guy if he wasn't having the injury issues that he was having. In terms of the roster, I don't know, like, in my mind, I don't know if a ton has changed this week. I think Vogelbach is, I'm not going to say a lock, but we're at least, like, starting to put the lock together. We've put in three of the four numbers on the code to lock that door and lock in Vogelbach heading north with the team this year. So I guess maybe, I don't know the geography. I think they start the season at Tampa Bay, so I might be wrong on that. But heading with the big club, he is just such a unique player in what he brings to the team. And it is obviously incredibly specialized. Left-handed power bat. So I don't envision him starting a ton. I don't think it's going to be a straight platoon with Turner. I think this is going to be in games where IKF or whoever at second base is in there, and a righty, there's a tough righty in the bullpen late in the game, Vogelbach's going to come in, try to hit the bejesus out of a baseball, and then you bring in Biggio as a defensive replacement in the final inning. That is kind of how I view this position being for Vogelbach. And it's tough because, like, you have a left-handed bat that has actually been playing pretty well this spring in Spencer Horowitz. He had an amazing play at first base the other day. He's hitting the ball all over the field. He still doesn't have the power you would want, but also, like, I feel like he still has some developing to do. So he is probably locked in as the everyday starting first baseman for AAA Buffalo when camp breaks. That would be my guess, and Vogelbach is the left-handed bench. But if there's an issue with Vlad or whoever, I don't mind Horowitz coming up and getting some ABs with the big club. Like, he is major league ready with his skill set, but there is still some developing for him to go, I think, if he wants to be penciled in as an everyday starter for the Blue Jays going forward. But yeah, I like the power bat dynamic that Vogelbach has. And when you look at some of the games last year, and this was one of the things I was really upset about by the trade deadline a season ago, where there were so many games, it's late in game and the platoon situation doesn't work out. And you look at the bench, it's like, well, I guess Ernie Clement is pinch hitting for us here in the eighth. I just like having that big bat off the bench that the Blue Jays can kind of ride with. And at this point, it is it's Vogelbach who is that guy who I feel very, very comfortable with coming off of the bench. The second base battle continues to be interesting. I had Schneider ahead of Espinal when we last spoke here on the Catlin Autocast. I think I still have Schneider over Espinal. I just think he can drive the ball a little bit more. I'm more comfortable with him playing in multiple positions. Although Espinal made a really smart play at short the other day, throwing behind Soto when he crept off the bag on a ground ball to short. Espinal's ability to play short makes it a bit of a viable option if they want to go that way as well, if something happens with Bo. I think IKF can play short. So if something happens to Bo and Espinal isn't on the team, which was my suggestion, then I guess you could go like Schneider to third, IKF to short, and do things that way. Or Biggio to short, whoever, right? Like you can kind of mix and match if you need to, with IKF being your I guess backup shortstop there. But it's getting a little bit closer because Espinal is hitting the ball really well and he's made some smart plays defensively. And Schneider, there's been a couple of taken strike threes that I just worry about. And the drop in the outfield, like those mistakes are going to happen. But when you're competing and the other guy is playing pretty well, those mistakes start to add up. So in my personal roster, I have Davis Schneider ahead of Espinal, and I would like to see another outfielder come in. And that outfielder right now feels like it is Lucas. He looks just like the more complete outfielder. Like, Baroa brings a real speed element. Same with Cam Eaton. Eaton's swing is just a little long for me, I think, for the big league level. I think there's still some tightening up for him to do. But Lucas, like we're not talking about Barry Bonds here. Like, we're talking about your fourth outfielder who will probably be a pinch runner off of the bench. But at least the hit tool is starting to come around against big league-ish pitching here. And that's, like, I wouldn't be comfortable with him as a pinch hitter coming off of the bench or anything like that. But I think you are comfortable with him being the fourth outfielder, pinch running in late game scenarios. And if you have to pinch hit Varsho late in the game and have Lucas come in and play left field, I think you're okay with that. So again, still, if it were me, I would be having Espinal step in I would have Schneider step in as the right-handed part of the platoon at second base with Biggio. I would move Espinal for something. And if that something isn't a fourth outfielder, I would then have Lucas be the fourth outfielder. I think that spot is his to lose. It's just a matter now of can he get on the actual big league roster, or will they carry both Schneider and Espinal? Lastly here, before we get to the breakout players, Matt Chapman signing a 3-year deal worth $54 million with the San Francisco Giants, and this infuriates me. I understand there might be a bit of a payroll crunch for this team, which does sound hilarious when they were willing to offer Shohei Ohtani $600 million, but I do think there is a bit of a payroll crunch because, like, when you're getting Shohei, it's not just, like, payroll. Like, that's an investment, right? Like, you make that money back total. You're not selling Fanatics out of Matt Chapman jerseys in 48 hours. Like, you're just, all due respect to the guy, you're not. If you were going to get a Matt Chapman jersey, you've probably done it already. And so I understand that there might be a bit of something there. But now you are really locked into this roster that doesn't look good enough in the American League East. When you see what the Yankees can do at the top of their lineup, when you see what Baltimore can do with their lineup, when you see what Tampa Bay has just done for forever, this really does feel like a lineup of a fourth place in your division team. And in 2024, fourth place in your division can still get you into the postseason, right? Like that is still absolutely a path that this team could take, is finish fourth and still be a wild card team. But it's going to take a lot of work for this team to get there. And I just, at 3 years at $54 million, it just seemed like such a gettable price for the Blue Jays to be able to go out. And then, like, you really solidify things in your lineup if you have Chapman in there and then it's IKF or Schneider or Biggio, but you just have one of them in your lineup. Now with both of them, it doesn't feel great. And it kind of really drives home the fact that internal improvement is going to be the key for this Blue Jays team this season. And like defensively, I don't think they're that far off. IKF has won a Gold Glove at third base before, and he has played an excellent third base from what we have seen so far this spring. So defensively, like, Matt Chapman is one of the best defenders in the world, so there is a touch of a fall off, but IKF is more than suitable as a replacement at third base. But it's just that the lineup looks a little weak right now. And I think Matt Chapman maybe got a little unlucky a season ago, had some real injury problems a season ago. And now I think that was your opportunity to, even at $20 million, find a bit of a market inefficiency and be able to grow from there. But we'll see if the Blue Jays are able to break out of this here and finally reach the potential they had of a couple of seasons ago. All right, it's time to start looking ahead to the 2024 MLB season. And for the Toronto Blue Jays, I'm going to be looking at potential breakout players for the 2024 season. I'm going to start with a couple of guys who just feel like they could reach another level this year. One of them is Alejandro Kirk. I think he is having a really good spring, bat to ball. You're starting to see that plate coverage that was such a factor for him in seasons past. You're starting to see him drive the ball much more this spring than you have in seasons past. Again, it's the spring, but I really do feel like last year was a blip. Anyone you hear talk about Alejandro Kirk immediately talks about just how talented of a hitter he really is. And so I think that there is another level that this kid can get to with the bat here in 2024. The other kind of level up breakout type of a player, he's already broken out because he was second in MVP voting 1 year, but it's Vlad Guerrero Jr. I just feel like he knows the expectations on him. He knows how close to free agency he is. And he knows that this team's failures will look poorly on him at some point. Not saying it's costing him like hundreds of millions of dollars, but maybe tens. And so now we need to see this year MVP candidate Vlad Guerrero Jr. I think that's in there for this kid. I genuinely do. I don't think that 1 year was a fluke or anything like that. I think that this is still one of the more talented players in Major League Baseball. He just has to show it. And I think this year with Turner, not that Belt couldn't play first base, I guess, but with Turner there who could spell him at first base, with Horowitz in the organization, I think we're going to see a few more rest days for Vlad Guerrero Jr., which is going to help him long term. I think be a more effective player in August, September, and hopefully for the Blue Jays in October. In terms of other players who I think can break out this year, I guess another guy who can raise up, I think we're going to see a really good year from Jose Berríos. I think that building off of a near unhittable performance in the American League wildcard series before he was inexplicably pulled in that game against the Twins, I think that is the type of end of the season, not the loss and all of that, but I think that is the type of the end of the season that the Blue Jays really, really wanted to see from him. I think that's the type of end of the season that he really needed to see. And I think instead of trying to figure out what went wrong a season ago, this year you're just looking at how can I get better? And I think that's a really great place for Berríos to be. So I think there is another level to his game that we could see come 2024. In terms of just like pure breakout guys, I talked about him a bit at the start of the show, talking about the Blue Jays pitching staff. I think Bowden Francis could have a real breakout year. Last year, he did all of that in kind of a bullpen long relief type of a role. I think there's going to be a lot of innings for him in the starting rotation this year. And I think given what we have seen from him so far, both in spring this year and with the lights on bright a season ago, I think this is absolutely someone who is going to really frustrate a lot of hitters in the American League and help out the Blue Jays I think that this is going to be a, oh shit, type of a season for Bowden Francis when you're looking up in June and July. And it's like, okay, he's obviously not the ace, but Francis has the best numbers in the rotation. I think he has a chance to be that guy for Toronto. And I think that's going to be important. If this team makes the playoffs, I don't think he's in the rotation, but I do think that he'll be that long guy when the Blue Jays evidently go to the math and try to bring in a long reliever in the fourth inning. He is comfortable coming out of the bullpen, and he's very effective coming out of the bullpen. So I think he will be effective in that role as kind of a swing guy for the Blue Jays to try to get to Green and Romano in the bullpen. And the last one here, I think we see the Aurelvis Martinez breakout this year. I really do think you see the change that he has at the change to the approach of the plate. He obviously can really drive the baseball. The power numbers are always there. I think at some point this year, this kid's the everyday second baseman for this team and providing a real offensive spark. I think that patience at the plate was kind of the last domino to fall in for him. I think that in terms of offensive upside, the sky's the limit for this kid. And I think he could have a chance to be, like, even beyond last year's David, or this year's Davis Schneider, I think he has a chance to be, like, the real kind of spark that this team needs in June and July to power this team and give this offense a bit of life and a bit of length. So I think Aurelvis Martinez has an opportunity to have a real, real breakout season this year for the Toronto Blue Jays. All right, that is going to do it for the Catlin AutoCast today. Coming up on the show next week, I will be in Mexico. And I'm not doing shows from Mexico. Unless something, if the Blue Jays work a trade for Ohtani and Trout, I will probably try to figure out a way to put something up there. Although I don't know how I would do that at this point. But, so next week, with all of these team-specific shows, and we're going to introduce a couple more next week as well, there is going to be the greatest of all time Toronto Blue Jays list. I'm going to go 1 through 10, and then we'll do maybe, we'll see how we're going time-wise, a full lineup and starting rotation and bullpen as well. That is kind of the thought for next week for this. And then back to your regularly scheduled programming. Also, we are going to look at Blue Jays who could fall off next year. Just a quick kind of season preview segment there. And then the week after that, we're going to preview the lineup, what we think this could actually look like for this team in 2024, plus all the big news from spring training. So, one more time, follow me on social media at Primetime Klein, Twitter, Instagram, and TikTok, twitch.tv/PrimetimePK. You can email the show couchpotatodiary@yahoo.com. Coming up later today, it is Couch Potato Diary going to look at, going to look at the Elias Pettersson contract, the Pittsburgh Penguins falling off in a big time way. The Flames nailed it with Mika Kiprusov. There could be a trade in the works in the NHL. Plus, a big name from the NFL has retired. A big performance in the NBA from the league's best team. And it is a UFC pay-per-view fight week, so we're going to look at the early storylines heading into UFC 299. Thank you guys so much for tuning in. Remember to like and subscribe, or review and subscribe if you're watching and listening. And I will talk to all of you in a little bit.